Morning, church. Good to see you. Great to be here, part of this exciting morning, to hear Maria's story, to witness the baptism. It's been fantastic. If you have a Bible, please turn to John chapter 4. The words will come up on the screen, but if you want to follow it in a Bible, then please do turn to it. We're just going to read the account of another woman who got excited and whose life was transformed when she encountered Jesus near some water. So it seems appropriate. So John chapter 4, we read. Now Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that he was gaining and baptizing more disciples than John, although in fact it wasn't Jesus who baptized, but his disciples. So he left Judea and went back once more to Galilee. Now he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about noon. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go, call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. And Jesus said to her, "You're right when you say you have no husband. The fact is, you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have said is quite true." "Sir," the woman said, "I can see that you are a prophet." Let's jump to verse 25. The woman said, "I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us." Then Jesus declared, "I, the one speaking to you, am he." Just then his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony that "he told me everything I ever did." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. And they said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." I wonder if you've ever been thirsty. Not just a little bit thirsty, but really, really thirsty. Not being able to drink for a long time. Perhaps you've had some kind of illness and you just couldn't keep anything down, not even a drop of water, and you know what it is to be thirsty. Perhaps you've had to not eat or drink anything because you were having something done to you in a hospital, and they told you not to drink. Maybe you've been in a place where water just isn't very easily available. It's quite a rare experience, isn't it, for us, really, in New Malden, because we have water on tap everywhere. For me, a few weeks ago, I was given a new medicine, and one of the side effects of this medicine was that it gave me a really, really dry mouth. I don't know if you've ever had that. I felt like I was absolutely parched. I woke up in the morning, and my mouth was completely dry, and it felt like my tongue was kind of stuck to the roof of my mouth. I couldn't speak properly. I was absolutely gasping for a water. I felt so thirsty. And if you've known what that's like, when you know that if you're really, really thirsty, then it just makes you restless. You can't relax. It's impossible to be healthy, to grow, to thrive, to truly live unless you have a regular supply of water which satisfies your thirst. And it's why being thirsty for water is such a powerful metaphor or picture in this conversation that we just read between Jesus and the woman that he met at this water well. It illustrates the fact that all of us as humans are created with a thirst in our being, in our soul, a thirst for life that we long to have satisfied. And we will continue to be restless. We will not be able to relax or thrive or truly live unless or until that thirst is quenched. In this conversation, Jesus tells this thirsty woman, and he tells us where we can find this thirst-quenching water. So let's see how this story unfolds. Jesus decides to travel from Judea in the south to Galilee in the north. And between those two areas is the area of Samaria, territory that Jews would avoid. They would walk around it rather than through it. Because the Jews and the Samaritans despised each other. They avoided one another. They had nothing to do with each other. There was a lot of history between these two groups of people. And so Jewish people would go out of their way to avoid walking through this part of the country, Samaria. Which means it's fascinating to me when we read, I don't know if you noticed at the beginning of that reading in verse 4, that Jesus had to go through Samaria. No, he didn't. He could have joined all the other Jews who were going out of their way to avoid Samaria. But at the same time, Jesus did have to go to Samaria because there was someone there who needed him. So in that sense, he had to go there. Because that's the Jesus way, isn't it? Going out of his way to go where people need him. Whether that meant coming from heaven to earth for us, whether it meant going from Judea into Samaria for this woman. And he's tired and thirsty. It's the middle of the day. It's sweltering hot. And so he stops at this water well. And while he's sitting there, a Samaritan woman comes to collect water. She's a Samaritan. Jesus is a Jew. The Jews despise the Samaritans. They never even speak to them. She's a woman, and Jesus, as a Jewish rabbi, would not tend to talk to any woman unless they were a relation of his. And not only that, it appears that this woman is some kind of social outcast. She's coming to the well in the middle of the day, the hottest time, when nobody else would be there, to avoid the looks, to avoid the comments, to avoid the judgments of other people. We find out a little bit later when Jesus tells her she's had 5 husbands, is now living with her 6th man. Now, in their culture, it was an expectation that if a woman's husband died, then his brother would marry the widow to try to continue the family line with her. So maybe this woman has had the misfortune of being widowed many, many times, and it wasn't her fault. But you can imagine in her community, they thought that she was cursed in some way. They resented her marrying all of their men. Or maybe she had been at fault in the breakdown of at least some of those marriages, and she knows what the locals think of that. She knows what they think of her. Whatever the details are, her coming to the well at this time of day when nobody else will be about indicates that she's carrying this sense of shame, of being judged by the locals, either for the deaths of her husbands or for all these breakups and divorces. Maybe you can relate to that in some way. There's something in your past that means that you live with a sense of shame that haunts you, that holds you. Something that feels like it's beyond solving, that you can never be quite set free from. Well, the wonderful good news of Jesus is that even though he knows all about all of that stuff, he knows all about this woman, that his practice is to go out of his way to reach out to people who feel like that, who feel unworthy. Because Jesus came for everyone. And Jesus is really quite revolutionary here in the society of his day. He's already gone out of his way to go to this location, and now he breaks every social rule. He speaks to this woman openly, and not only that, he treats her with respect, giving her worth and dignity, asking her for help. Will you give me something? Will you give me something to drink? Jesus knows how broken she is. Jesus reaches out to her. Starts a conversation with her about water, about being thirsty, about how to get some water out of this well that they're sitting next to. And it's a perfect lead-in for him to begin to talk to her about the deeper thirst for life, which she and all of us have. As he says to her, everyone who drinks this water from the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. It's impossible to ignore real thirst. And it's exactly the same with this thirst for life. People will try almost anything to satisfy it. And they will keep trying different things in an attempt to find the thing that satisfies this thirst. For this woman, perhaps it was the love of a man. She tried one, and we don't know why, but it didn't work out. She wasn't satisfied, or perhaps he had died. And so she tried another and then another. Maybe this is going to be the one. Maybe this will be the thing that satisfies my thirst. There must be more to life than this. I've tried what I thought would do it, but I'm still thirsty. If we look around our world, we'll see people will try all sorts of things, trying to satisfy this thirst. And it might be relationships, romance, sex. It might be doing what all your friends are doing. If I wear what they all wear, if I go where they all go, if I watch what they all watch, if I do what they all do, that must be the thing because everybody's doing it and they all seem happy. They all look okay. But I've tried it all and I'm still thirsty. Why doesn't it work for me? Why is it never satisfying for me? Perhaps I'll try wine or beer or gin's the latest trendy thing. That seems to do the business for lots of other people. Perhaps I'll try that, but I've tried and it's still thirsty. Maybe it's being successful in my work and just working harder and harder to try and achieve and get position and get power. Perhaps it's about possessions. Perhaps it's about getting just the right house or more than one house or a bigger house, or a car, or the latest phone, or trainers, or clothes, or whatever it might be, trying all these things, and yet somehow still thirsty, still something missing, still restless. C.S. Lewis wrote these words, "Creatures are not born with desires unless a satisfaction for those desires exists. A baby feels hunger. Well, there is such a thing as food. A duckling wants to swim. Well, there is such a thing as water. Men feel sexual desire. Well, there is such a thing as sex. But if I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. If none of my earthly pleasures satisfy it, that doesn't prove that the universe is a fraud. Probably earthly pleasures were never meant to satisfy it, but only to arouse it and to suggest the real thing. The thing we desire, that we're thirsty for, is beyond ourselves, even beyond this world, and we can only find it in life with Jesus, the Son of God. Augustine, one of the early church leaders, said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our heart is restless until it finds its rest in you." I wonder what you've tried. I wonder what you're trying at the moment. Maybe one of the things that I've mentioned in the last few minutes, maybe something else. We are not alone, because everyone is searching. Searching for this thing which will satisfy their thirst. I want to encourage you to hear the words of Jesus today. With all of these things, you will be thirsty again, but there is something that will truly satisfy. And Jesus says, "I can give it to you. You'll never be thirsty like that again." You've been designed, you've been created to live life full of love and life, the life of God. With His Spirit with you, His Spirit in you, like a spring of water that never runs dry. So you'll never thirst for that thing in life again. Your search can be over. You can rest. It's exactly how Jesus described the Holy Spirit, like a spring of water welling up to eternal life. The thing about a spring is that it doesn't run dry. A water hole might dry up. A well might become stagnant or get contaminated in some way, but a spring is constantly fresh, bubbling up, overflowing. And the new life that Jesus came to give is just like that. And you can find it nowhere else and from no one else. As a teenager, this was my struggle, trying to figure out what life was all about. Where could I get this thirst in me satisfied? And I grew up in a Christian family who'd taken me to church from the day I was born. And so I'd heard the Christian message. And thinking about the Christian life when I was a teenager made me think that if I chose that path, then life in all its fullness would be over. That would be the end of all the fun stuff, and life would just be limited in some way. How wrong I was. And how right Jesus is. And one of the scriptures that really spoke to me was the words of Jesus himself when he said, "I have come that you may have life and life in all its fullness." Knowing this thirst satisfied. And in us this desire for love and acceptance and welcome and belonging and family. Of wanting to be made clean, of knowing purpose in life, a hope. For the future is satisfied in Jesus, so that you need never thirst again. This woman's response when she heard Jesus say this to her was so simple. "Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. Jesus, give me this water that will truly satisfy me." Have you ever said that? Can you say that? Such a wonderful thing to say. Well, such a wonderful prayer to pray, because God loves to answer this prayer. Because God loves to write new chapters in the lives of people who let him, who ask him, who invite him in, just like this woman did. And it's part of what baptism acts out, that we've seen it acted out for us this morning. Not only is it a picture of the death and the resurrection of Jesus, the one in whom that we have put our trust, but it's also a picture of what's happened to us, what's happened to Maria. That her old way of life of just searching and striving for something that might satisfy is over. And she has risen to a new life, a new chapter that's been written for her by God in trusting in Jesus. And it's what we see all the way through the Bible. People who were far from God, people who've messed up in every possible way that you can imagine, who meet God, they encounter him. Their hearts are open to him. They are forgiven and start a new chapter in life in all its fullness, not thirsty anymore. Moses was a murderer. David stole someone's wife and then had him killed. Jacob was a deceiver. Rahab was a prostitute. Peter abandoned and denied Jesus. The list goes on and on. People who messed up, but people for whom God wrote a new chapter, which is wonderful. If you know that you're thirsty, you've tried so many different things to try and satisfy that thirst and you've not found it, then hear what Jesus is saying. Come to me. Pray to me. Ask me to forgive your sin. To put my spirit, the spirit of life in you, which will truly satisfy you so that you will never thirst again. Maybe in some way you feel like an outcast. Beyond God's love. In some way, I'm here to tell you that is not true. However deep your sin may go, God's grace is deeper still. However far you feel you may have gone away from God, God's love goes further still to call you back because it's a love that loves to forgive and to wash us clean. Water's good for that, isn't it? To satisfy this thirst for life, to start a new chapter. And it can start today. Maybe you know this living water. And perhaps today is a moment to ask for a heart for those who are still thirsty, who are still searching. Like this woman who went and told everybody all about this Jesus and what he'd done for her. So that it could start a new chapter for them. And it's all possible because Jesus loves you. Jesus held nothing back. Jesus has gone out of his way to bring you this message so that you can have life in all its fullness, so that you can start a new chapter today. Can we just stand together? If you're able to stand, let's just stand up for a moment. Just listen to the words of Jesus one more time. Everybody who drinks water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst again. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. If you've never asked Jesus for this water of life, new life with him, life in all its fullness, you can ask him right now. You can speak to him, pray like this woman did. Jesus, give me this water. I'm tired of being thirsty. Will you forgive me for all the wrong things that I've done searching for the answer? The answer that I now know is you. Wash me clean. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, spring of water welling up, overflowing with life, now and forever. If you've asked him for it before, but if you're honest, it feels like the spring's more of a trickle, with other things blocking its flow, crowding out the Spirit. Why don't you speak to Jesus about that now? Jesus, I'm sorry that the things of life are crowding you out. Please forgive me and fill me again with the spring of your life-giving Spirit, that I might know real life with you again. And the final thing, we're not meant to keep the water of life to ourselves. So maybe it's right for you to pray, Jesus, would you fill me to overflowing with your Spirit life, that I might overflow to the people that I meet and share the living water with the thirsty people around me. So we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.